please remain standing for scripture reading.
Let me invite you to turn to our text this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 8, as we are looking at Matthew's account of the life and the teachings of Christ for us, Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. And let's hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." May God bless his word. Please be seated. As we look at this text this morning, I want to step back for just a minute and look at something that I'd like us to see here, what would be maybe seeing the importance of what seems to us something somewhat unimportant. It's something that we can see really in many places of Scripture, not just this one, but something that we probably miss often as we read God's Word. The Bible is giving you and I wonderful details into the life of our Savior. None of them are insignificant. We know of the very travels of Jesus. We know from this text in verse 1 that Jesus, as Matthew tells us, came down from the mountain and large crowds followed him. You might yawn really at that verse and move on. But realize your God has told you there of the real events in the life of your Savior. And that by those words, you might know Jesus. God hasn't simply given you and I some vague generalities of a person named Jesus. But he has even included at times small details about him for us. And we know that all the details about him, including what we find in verse 1, the simple detail that he came down from the mountain and large crowds were following him, we know that by all of those details, God has ensured that you and all who would believe in Christ can come to know their Savior. And can come to know him in a manner as good as being there. Do you believe that? Do you believe that by the very written word of God, you can come to know Christ as well as those who were there following Jesus down the mountain? As good as being there, as good as seeing Jesus with your own eyes and hearing his voice in your ears? Beloved, never think God has shortchanged you by not allowing you to sort of be there in person with Jesus. The truth is that you are able to know Jesus just as well as someone in the first century who was there. You don't need to travel back in time. You don't even need to travel to Israel to know Jesus better. God has made it so that every believer in every place of the world, in every point of history, can know Christ just as well as the leper even in this story, who was touched by Jesus and healed. This is why we preach the Word of God each Sunday and we read it together. Because by the Word, God makes Himself known to His people. These aren't mere words or mere fine-sounding ideas or just some good tips for living or ways to cope with life. We're listening to the very words of a living God that personally and savingly and sufficiently reveal Jesus to those who put their faith in Christ alone. So never take the reading of the Bible or the preaching of the Word lightly or casually or something that maybe is just for getting some kind of inspiration to get through the day or the week. This is the very Word of God that brings to you the living God by the power of the very Spirit of God. And so the Bible is the sole means by which God makes Himself savingly known to all men. He certainly makes Himself known in nature in a certain way, but not savingly. No man knows God savingly apart from the words of the Bible. God moves in the corporate gathering as well of His people in a special way. In ways that He does not move elsewhere through the other 6 days of the week. Beloved, this day, the Lord's Day that we gather on, it really is the most essential day of all days of the week. And it is the day that is most needed in the life of the believer. You need this day more than any day. Jesus comes, or the leper comes actually to Jesus and is healed. The healing of the leper here stands in the context of a hopeless man who was coming to be healed by Jesus. He is a hopeless man. He is perhaps one of the most hopeless people in all of Israel. Because there is probably no greater outcast in Israel than the leper. And yet this outcast is believing. He is a social pariah. He is unclean because of his disease. He's cut off from the fellowship of Israel. And he is in contrast here to the leadership of Israel, who have refused to come to Jesus and believe. The leaders of Israel, they were competent or confident in their own eyes. They weren't hopeless in their own eyes. They were self-righteous. They were not unclean. They were essential, they could say, to Israel. They were not to be cast off. But Christ will come in this chapter, and we'll see, Lord willing, next time we get together. Christ will actually rebuke the Jews as he's speaking here because of their failing to believe and because of the leper believing, and as we'll see, because of the centurion believing and not Israel. Here we find a man despised by the people because of his disease and an outcast, and he comes and does what they would not do. and what they should have done. He bows down and he calls Jesus Lord and confesses his belief. Leprosy was a disease in the Bible that we find spoken of in the Old Testament. We find it referenced in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, giving instructions to Israel on how to deal with this disease that they referred to as leprosy. Now, we don't know if it's exactly the same leprosy that we know of today, that we speak of as Hansen's disease. Some of the symptoms described in Leviticus 13 don't seem to fully match. But there may have been some overlap in describing what the ancients understood as contagious diseases that appear on the surface of the body. And so perhaps referred to all of those in the sense of leprosy. We do know that what we refer to as leprosy in our day was found in the first century. They've found it in first century tombs in Jerusalem where they've examined some of the remains. They've found evidence of Hansen's disease there. And so it was this disease that was known then. And whether it was this one or one like it, this man was in a hopeless situation. There was no cure. He was an outcast. He was to live his life that way. In the days of the New Testament, one who was a leper was one who was supposed to announce their presence in the presence of others with the warning, unclean, unclean, so that others would know not to come too close, and so no one would dare come and even touch a leper for fear of getting the disease. And so they had to live apart. It was a lonely life. Think about that. No human touch. No one would touch you. This is why Matthew and some of the other gospel writers, as well as they record this event, make a point to tell us that Jesus touched the man. Christ was unafraid to touch the leper. He did it without hand sanitizer. COVID-19 in our day has tempted us to see at times almost everyone as a potential leper. Do you shake hands? Do you give a hug? Do you get too close? You know, in Europe, their social distancing distance is 1 meter. In parts of Australia and that, it's 1.5 meters. Here, we've 6 feet. I don't know. But COVID is nothing like leprosy, right, in the first century. For those who might get leprosy from this man, it would mean a lifetime of debilitating, disfiguring disease that would leave you dying alone. For us, COVID, though for a small percentage it's serious. But it means really 99.9% of us will get over it if we get it in a relatively short time. It's not a life sentence for most. And so in spite of our current concerns about this virus, surely some are real, some are imagined. Compared to the rest of human history, beloved, you know, we live in the safest time ever to live. Even with that, we ought to be those people who, because of our hope in Christ, know no fear of death. We are to be those who face death with boldness, even joy. For we shall be with the Lord. Right? It's not that we live foolishly or we purposely head towards death, but we face it unafraid, whether it's a virus or a heart attack or some other disease or accident. We know our times are in his hands. And so our concern as believers as we live this life is not chiefly for ourselves, but it's ultimately for those we might leave behind. That was Paul's concern. Paul would rather depart and be with Christ, but he knew it was better to remain for the sake of the church. Christ, even as he was on the cross, knew it was better for him to die. But he looked to John, that beloved disciple, and looked and had John care for his mother. His concern was for those he would leave behind. I want us to be a people who don't fear death, who would rather depart and be with Christ, but in the providence of God, who see remaining here more necessary for the sake of the church and for the sake of the gospel. This leper was one who was truly diseased and without hope. Christ was his only hope. There was no other place on the face of the earth that this man could go other than to Christ. Christ, the great physician. Christ, who could wipe away the leprosy of this man with a mere command, demonstrated by a touch of his hand. In the Bible, leprosy is somewhat of a unique disease. It's really used as a metaphor or a picture of the curse of sin and how it comes into the life and how it brings a deadness and a disfiguring and a separation and a corruption and how it makes us unclean. This is why the leper comes to Jesus and asks him to make him clean. Clean. There was an understanding that he had become unclean in some sense by this disease. But we don't find other diseases spoken of in this way. Blindness or seizures or issues of bleeding or fevers are not spoken of in the scriptures as making you unclean. But God had determined to take this particular disease of leprosy and use it to display the corruption of sin. Not because it made someone sinful because they had a disease, but the Bible is using it to demonstrate in a very graphic way what sin does. We find this in Leviticus 13, illustrated in ways where sin is that which, like leprosy, goes deeper than the skin. It spreads. It defiles and it isolates us from God. And in Leviticus 13, those garments that were infected by it were just fit to be burned by the fire. Those clothed with this sin were only fit for the judgment of God. Sin defiles, it corrupts, it fits us only for God's wrath, but Christ, the friend of sinners, Christ, the only hope. There are no other cures, beloved, for sin. None. Deeds, good deeds, are really snake oil for sin. Religious duties that we might look at and try are false hopes. I was reminded of this a bit this past week. I was speaking on the phone with my father, and He was telling me of a group of, they have a church camp out there that they rent out at times to different groups that would come in, and they rented it out this past week to a group of Hasidic Jews, very Orthodox Jews. And one of the things that they required as they came to the camp was that the camp supply Kleenex in the bathrooms, because on the Sabbath, when they would be there, it was against their law to tear toilet paper. So they could pull an individual piece of Kleenex and it would still be okay. And they're required on the Sabbath to remain in their homes, their dwellings, and they were not supposed to go out. And so what they did was that they took fishing line and they stretched it all around the exterior of the camp boundaries. And that became the boundaries of their home. So they then could go out on the Sabbath. Their rules were just sugar pills for their sin. They did nothing for them. Beloved, being a good person, following external rules like that will help cure you of sin no more than sugar pills will cure you of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That's really the backdrop of this sickness of leprosy in the Bible. It's a picture of complete corruption of the heart from which there is no human solution. It was incurable, and it made us unclean. And so this man came to Jesus because he already knew who Jesus was and what he could do. Word had spread about Jesus, about the power of Christ to heal all manner of disease. Way back in chapter 4, Matthew had told us that Jesus had already become famous in Galilee and Syria, because he was already healing every disease and casting out demons. And so everyone knew, including this leper and including the Jewish leadership. But this poor, diseased, and hopeless man is the one who comes and displays complete belief in Christ to heal. The leper knew that Jesus was the only one. He was the one as well to be worshipped. He came and bowed down before him. He calls him Lord. Now, this was not in the sense of a common greeting to someone greater than you, for the leper knew he was coming to someone, to the only one, who could do what no man could do. He could cure leprosy. This man knew Jesus had the authority to heal him. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Christ healed him. I am willing, he said. What a beautiful display of the mercy of Christ. That text that we read earlier in Genesis is a great display as well of God's mercy. As Abraham there pleads with God back and forth time and time again, reducing down, will you still be merciful? Will you still be merciful? The Lord says, yes, I'm willing. And Jesus healed him immediately. No delay. No recovery period. No other therapies recommended. No drugs prescribed. It was done when the word was given. Only one who is Lord is able to command leprosy. So Jesus instructs the leper to tell no one But then to go first and show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. He was not to go out and start telling everyone first, but rather obey the law, tell the priests who had refused themselves to believe. The priests were there, according to the law of Moses, to witness to the healing that was done and receive the sacrifice. They were to witness the healing, but they were the ones refusing to believe. They were to acknowledge the work of Christ in this man, but they were not believing. Jesus was making them acknowledge him, even in their unbelief. This must have really hurt. They knew who Jesus was. And they knew that what he was doing, and they knew that before them here was a man, a leper, who was cleansed, who was coming to them according to their law, and according to that they had to acknowledge this healing, verify the work of Christ in this man. Truth is, beloved, we're all cleansed lepers who have come to faith in Christ. All of us. From the greatest to the least. Sin had come and twisted and ruined and deformed and corrupted each of us inside and out. And we all are those who, like Paul said in Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy and hated by others and hating one another. Isn't that the day we see ourselves in? But Paul says, when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration. I love it how the scripture speaks of regeneration. It's a washing. It makes you clean. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The Church of Jesus Christ is a group, you could say, of former lepers who have been made clean by the blood of Christ, because all our sins have been washed away. And there's a sense in which we go out boldly into the leper colony of the world with the good news of the cure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We go with a Lord who commands the leprosy of the heart to depart, with all of its corruptions and all of its deaths. In the message of the gospel, we come and we say to sin and its curse, where, O death, is your victory? And where, O death, is your sting? Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you that you did not leave us alone. You did not leave us under the penalty of sin and its corruptions. You did not leave us in death. But by the very blood of Jesus Christ, you have come and you have made us clean. You have brought us in to be around. You have brought us close. Lord, we thank you that you have made us new by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the power of that gospel that is the message of salvation for everyone who believes. Lord, we ask that you would send us forth to those you put around us as cured lepers with the only message that will rescue those around us and give them life and make them clean. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to stand and sing as we close with "Be Thou My Vision." It's number 83.